This morning we're going to do things slightly differently, even though, well, perhaps we do things differently every week, but it's going to be even more differently. So what we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about miracles. So I'm going to do a short introduction, the word being short. Then Chris is going to give us, well, a sort of a mixture of a testimony and, well, I'm not quite sure what, in his own inimitable style. And then we're going to have a ministry time, and we're going to ask God to come and to do some of those miracles that we're talking about. Okay? So what I want you to do, as you're listening to what I have to say and what Chris has to say, I want you to stir up faith in your heart and allow God to move, because this morning could be your morning. Who knows? So my short introduction is I want to talk about the biblical basis for why we believe in miracles and what our attitude should be. And then Chris is going to talk about some more kind of practical aspects, including a long testimony, or short long testimony. I mustn't say the word long to him, otherwise we'll be here till lunchtime.
It's 1 o'clock finished today.
Right. So I want to start out, if you've got your Bibles, if you could turn to Mark chapter 16, please. If you haven't got your Bibles, you can still do that. And I'm going to read out the Great Commission. Now, we're used to the Great Commission being Matthew 28, but it's also in Mark. Don't be put off by the little footnote that these last few verses in Mark are unreliable, but they're still in my Bible and they're still in yours. But Mark has a little bit more to say in the Great Commission than Matthew does. So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." So the first thing to notice is, who is this for? It says, preach to all creation. And all generally means all, and not all except for me. And it says that as we preach to all creation, any who believe will be saved. So this is not something that's for a specialist few. It's not just for one or two. It's for all creation and for all people who believe. And that's the first miracle. And you're all, this morning, a miracle if you know Jesus. Because as Andrew so eloquently put it right at the beginning, without Jesus, we wouldn't be allowed into the presence of God. Without him making a way, going into the Holy of Holies, tearing the curtain in two so that we can go into the presence of God, because we're all sinful. But the miracle is that we have the right of access to go before Jesus and to come into the Holy of Holies. And so everyone is already a miracle this morning. But Mark doesn't stop there. And he says these signs will accompany those who believe. So remember, it's all creation, any who believe. And so who are these signs for? These signs for all who believe. Not just for a select few. Not just if you happen to go to Bill Johnson's church or John Arnott or whoever with a big name. It's for all who believe. And now some of these we're quite familiar with. We're quite happy that in my name they will speak in new tongues. We're quite accepting of that. And we generally think, so we usually pick that bit out. And then, well, were more or less happy with the last bit, that they'll lay hands on people, on the sick, and they will recover. I mean, this is what Alan was talking about last week. And if you missed it, I would recommend that you listen to that on the iPlayer. It was an excellent thing about laying on of hands and God's power. But then there's these other slightly more tricky bits. They'll drive out demons. They'll handle snakes and poison. Now, I want to just say a caveat here, right? I have seen clips of some slightly more wacky and extreme churches where they hand round snakes and ladders of poison. I'm not proposing that we do that. Jesus said, after the third temptation, he said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And we're not about trying to create spectacles. I don't mean this sort of spectacles. We're not about trying to create that and putting God to the test, right? But these were everyday dangers in life in the Middle East at that time, that there were snakes and scorpions, and food quite often was bad and could kill you, right? There are general everyday dangers that we face in life. And what this is saying is that God will protect us from those everyday dangers. Now, I don't think I'm watering that down, but there can be times when we will, you know, we have all sorts of scares about E. coli and all sorts of food poisoning, that we do not need to be afraid, we do not need to live in fear, because we have the power of God. And he will protect us. He says he'll set his angels to protect us. And that's what one of the things that Mark is saying here. So these miracles that he's talking about being born again, about speaking in new tongues, about the sick being receiving healing, about us being protected from the dangers of life, about demons being cast out, these are things that are for all believers. That's my first point. The second point is in Luke chapter 10. So if you could move over to Luke, if you've got your Bibles. So in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20, Jesus has collected 72 believers, and he's sent them out. Just like that we've just read in Mark, they were sent out before this chronologically. And Jesus had given them all authority to go and to preach the gospel in his name. And this is what happened when they came back. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And while we praise God for the miracles that he does among us, and we look to him and we expect him to do that, we're not seeking miracles for miracles' sake. And we're not seeking to build something that would have a wow factor. We're not seeking to get the sort of publicity of oh, this is something where miracles happen. We're seeking Jesus. And it's more important that we seek his face than we seek his hand. That was a phrase that came out quite a lot in the Sunderland Refreshing. Well, what it means is that we look to Jesus for who he is, and for our relationship with him. We're saved by him. We're in relationship with him if we know him. And that's where we rejoice. We rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. We rejoice that he is our King and our Saviour. And the miracles happen because he's faithful. And we don't actually go out seeking them for their own sake. We seek Jesus for his sake. And we look to him for the miracles that he will provide. And we give the glory to him. And we do not take any for ourselves. Okay, so that's my second point, that even though we've been given the authority to do all of these things, to pray for the sick, to see us protected from the dangers of life, to see demons cast out, to speak in tongues, to be saved, all of these things, we don't glory in those, we glory in Jesus, but yet he still does all of those things. So that was my introduction. I'm now going to call on Chris to come, and he is going to tell us about how that works in practice.
It's a good theory, isn't it? Thank you, John. I want to talk to you today about modern miracles. I mean, what actually is a miracle? I'm not talking about, and no expense spared here, by the way, I'm not talking about the likes of Zappo, the latest cleaner, cleans 110% of all your dirt. Or Miracle-Gro, bung it on the garden and everything rushes up. No, waste of time. I'm talking about a miracle in the biblical sense. When I first decided to speak on this subject, I had no idea of the philosophical minefield that I was walking into. There are as many opinions about miracles as there are philosophers, and every single one of them has an opinion. However, they seem to fall into two camps. Bear with me here, it gets a bit out there. The first lot believe that a miracle is something that happens within the laws of nature. The only problem is, because we don't understand what's happening, we call it a miracle. The other lot believe that it is something that happens outside the laws of nature, where all the laws that we know and understand are suspended. Forget about gravity, forget about mathematics, forget about everything. Now, think about that for a moment. This must mean that all our laws and science, mathematics, can be just ignored to create a miracle. The laws upon which the universe, where we all live, all those laws, they're just ignored. Just forget about them. Well, for me, for many years before I was saved, trust me, that was a huge, huge problem. Coming from a science background, it seemed so wrong to just abandon everything I knew. I mean, physics, maths, just forget it. Well, I couldn't do that. But this is crucial for a Christian. The Bible tells us that God is the creator and maintainer of all things. It's not just a phrase. It's the literal truth. God is the creator and maintainer of all things. From the very beginning, when time and space were first brought into being, right up to now. Well, as soon as I accepted that, everything else started to fall into place. The laws that we apply to the universe work only because of the perfection of his creation. If we accept that he created all things, then we must accept that he can alter them, suspend them, do away with them for 5 minutes. And that's what he does it quite regularly. A few examples from the New Testament. In Acts 3, there's a story, a famous story, the crippled man who, after spending all his life begging at the temple gate, received his healing through Peter and John, who commanded him to walk in the name of Jesus. How about that? They just went, get up, walk. Now, many, many, many people saw this. It wasn't just something that happened in a corner. Loads of people saw it. In Acts 9:33-35, we're told Peter once met a paralyzed man who'd been bedridden for 8 years. You think about 8 years laying in bed. Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up. So he got up. Brilliant. Miracles are powerful demonstrations of God's power. But, this is where we come to it, isn't it? How often have you heard non-Christians turn around and say, well, maybe it happened then, but that sort of thing doesn't happen anymore? Well, it'd be in the papers if it did, wouldn't it? Well, wouldn't it? You know, News of the World. Oh, sorry, it's gone. News of the World. Miracle occurs in Birmingham. No, it wouldn't. I want to share a story I was told on Tuesday. My landlord's builder had come along because my roof tiles were coming a bit slack. And as you do, we're stood chatting, having a coffee. And he turns out to be a bit of a sea fisherman. Now, if anybody knows me, they know that that's, you know, my third love. I had to say third. My wife sat there. apparently, when he was little, he went out with his dad in a little 16-foot fiberglass dinghy with a tiny little, it's called a seagull, it's a tiny little engine, just about makes headway. They went out fishing. And they're having quite a good day. And then they look up and they realise that they can't see the land anymore. There's a fog come down, very quietly, and they have no idea which way they're drifting. Well, the fog got thicker, and then it started to rain, and it got choppy. And the father turns to his son, and they're bailing away. And he says, we'll pray. So, my builder's never seen his dad pray. But he prayed, nothing happened. And then out of the fog, there's a thump. Noise. And they have no idea what this is. And eventually, this huge tanker churns into view. And it's the engines they can hear. It roars past. And the wash from this tanker, you know, the waves at the back. It's chuffing water into the boat. They're bailing like crazy. And the father, by now, has reached the point where he's saying to his son, if this gets really bad, I'll go overboard. I'll hang on to the boat, and you stay in the boat, because it'll make it lighter and it'll ride the waves a bit better. And they carry on bailing for an hour or so, and this has gone on for hours. And finally he looked up and he saw his dad kneeling in the bow of the boat, praying out loud to God, not to save him, but to save his son. No matter what happens, Lord, save my son. He said, at that point, and I'll use his own words here, he said, at that point, as in a tunnel, they saw through the fog. And at the end of the tunnel was land. So they started this little engine and headed down this tunnel. As they went, it closed behind them. Sounds like a Red Sea, doesn't it? Anybody remember Moses? Closed behind him. And they were saved. Now that guy was my builder doing my roof. He recounted that to me Tuesday. He believes in miracles. He was there. I believe in the power of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to perform miracles today and any other day. I'm alive standing here today with you because of a miracle on a mountain in America where my life and my soul were saved. God did that for me at a time and place of his choosing, without my asking, and in a manner that I couldn't ignore or doubt. He did the impossible just to prove that for him there's no such thing. I believe that through prayer we can ask for and will be given great things, fantastic things. Something I want to share with you is the continued healing of Christine. Yeah. here today. Stay with me here for a sec. I've been practicing this next bit. She has progressive degenerative osteoarthritis with an exaggerated kyphosis and spondylosis of the spine. Thank you. Let me translate. She has arthritis in her joints and a bent and fused spine that is crumbling. There's X-ray evidence for all of this, and it's documented in her medical records, and that, I think, is very important. These are illnesses to which there is no cure. Her condition can only become worse, her spine more and more bent, her walking more and more difficult, until she has to use a wheelchair. So says medical science. When Chris and I first met, and many of you will testify, she couldn't walk without crutches. However, wondering what's in this. You recognize these, Chris? Yep. These were her crutches. She doesn't need them. They've gone. Forget about them. She's gone from being unable to walk more than a few steps to using only one stick now, and that's mostly for balance. She walked at our wedding. I know a lot of you were at our wedding. Thanks. She walked at her wedding. She had heels on then, by the way. This is the girl who can't walk without crutches. Remember, medical science says this cannot happen. Now, she's able now to turn at the hip. She can turn her head. None of this can happen. She's got a fused spine. Now, some of her family who came to the wedding, and this is where I get my bit in, attribute this improvement to having found a good man and being happy. Well, yeah, maybe Chris has lost a bit of weight. Maybe she's walking better because she's happier. But how do they explain that her spine has straightened? How do they explain that she's gained an inch and a half? Think about that, that's an inch and a half. That's in the last year. These were the sticks that she used to use when she went from crutches. We'll get rid of one. That's the difference in her height. That's what she's grown. Come on, they've gone. It's costing me a fortune, this getting well, you know. She's had to buy adjustable sticks because she keeps growing. Each day, she's improving. Each day, her spine becomes straighter. Remember, that's an inch and a half over the last year. This cannot happen. Medical science, I repeat, says this is impossible. However, it has. We believe that through prayer and the power of our faith in God, through Jesus Christ, she will continue to improve. That is our prayer and our belief. So, to my original questions. What is a miracle? And do they still happen today? I believe a miracle is when something completely unexplainable happens to bring a sinner to God's love, as happened to me. Or when, through prayer and faith in Jesus Christ, something occurs that has no rational explanation and cannot be explained by science. In fact, it's often regarded by science as being impossible, such as Christine's continued healing. This is truly a gift from God. And I believe that is without doubt a miracle. So when people say to you, miracles don't happen anymore, when they say it's all a myth, tell them about the miracle you have seen with your own eyes. Chris, come here, please. Tell them about the miracle that you have been a witness to. Tell them about a fused spine that is straightening. Tell them about Christine. Tell them what God can do. I'd like to end by just saying thank you to the Lord for what he's doing for Christine. And I pray that through his love, she continues to be healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Now, give it back to John. Carry on.